to talk about transformation again today. And by the way, while you got your Bibles up there, I'm very proud of all the people last week. There must have been 20-something people last week and that raised their hand. And I'm sure some of them were visitors on our Easter service. But what that tells me is you're hungry to have light fulfillment in every area. And so I'm very proud of the people that said, I want transformation. I want life in every area of my life. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians again. And last week we talked about, just to recap, we talked about the first part of transformation, and that is, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, we'll start reading there. And that's really the first step in transformation is what we did last week, is where we looked at who Jesus Christ was, and depended upon His power. And excuse my voice today, but last night as I was preaching, I thought, am I going to make it? And I made it. So that was my next question today as I speak today. Am I going to make it? And so I went home last night, and I'll give you a pretty word picture here. I snorted salt water up my nose, and then I gargled salt water, and then I swallowed salt water, and I went to bed. So that was my home remedy. How many's ever done that? A little salt water, you know. God gave us simple stuff, didn't He, to help cure what ails us. So just pray for my voice today. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." This cross thing, you know, I had a guy tell me one time, he was of a different religion. We would consider it a cult because they don't exalt Christ as Savior and Lord. But he said to me, he said, you know, you Christians hang that cross around your neck. You know, he said, that would be like hanging a gun around your neck that assassinated someone. And so this is what the Bible's talking about. The foolishness of the cross is to those that are perishing. How many knows it's not foolishness to us? Because God gave His only Son on the cross for us, and He paid the ultimate penalty for our sins. And so it's not foolishness to us. We take it very seriously, and the cross is a representative of the love that Jesus had for us. And it's the power of God, it says. Look, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, to Christians, to those who believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ," He said, "to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It is the power of God. And what makes that so special is this. We're not in this alone. How many knows when we come to Christ? Last night I preached to the men and women at the rescue mission about knowing who your Savior is and walking in blessing. And how David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And when he was preaching that and saying that and writing that down, he was actually running from Saul. He was hiding out in caves, and he was running for his life. Then he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he said, "I shall not want." And then he said, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." While he's being pursued by Saul, he's professing who he is in Christ. And we had a lot of fun with the guys last night, because I said, I told them this, and we're talking about the cross and the shepherd and having a shepherd. I said, have you ever tried to catch a sheep or wrestle a sheep? You know, they're just pretty helpless. I mean, I wish God would have at least referred to us as a cow or something, you know? But He really shows how helpless we are when He looks at us and He calls us sheep. Because if you catch a sheep, I mean, they just know they're caught. They just, they might squirm a little bit, but they're like this, "Bah!" And so I'd have all the guys last night when we would preach, I'd say, let's say, "Bah!" You know, signifying you're God's sheep, you know. And so that's why He looked at us. And so thank God there's power in the cross, because there's not much power in us. But it's through the power of the cross we can accomplish all things. You got to have the want to, okay? And because you've got the means through the power of the cross. Verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So it's not about our wisdom and how we can connive or scheme or even think up ways to live righteous and live abundant life, but it's through the power of the cross. It's a yielded vessel that says it's not about me and my will, but it's about the will of God, and it's about being obedient to Christ and to the Word of God. And that's why it's really important for you and I to stay in the Word, because that's going to bring power to us when we're lining up with this Word and we're believing in the power of the cross. That's an awesome duo that will help us to go through anything. And so it's very important to stay in the Word. Verse 20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jew requests a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jew a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24 says, but to those who are called, those who are in Christ, he said it's not foolishness to them. To those who are in Christ. How many is in Christ? Let me see your hand. So how many knows he's talking to you? See, so you can take this real personal. He said, but to those who are called are in Christ, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. It's the power of God, the wisdom of God. Power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, remember last week we told you this, and in John 10:10 it said the thief has come to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Here's what we need to know if you're going to be transformed in an area. There's somebody in this world, there's an influence in this world that will agree with you if you want to be in a selfish, poor, pitiful me attitude. And it's a dark spirit, but it will agree with you. How many has ever noticed this? When you get off in a poor, pitiful me attitude, there's an easy flow to that. You ever notice that? How many notice when you get in that old pity boat and start paddling out from the shore, it doesn't take long to get way out there. You ever notice that? I mean, you can just be, you know, one minute you can just be loving God and powerful, and the next minute somebody mistreats you, or you think you got the short end of the stick, you just start paddling on out. And it don't take long, does it, to just get way out there. Way out there. I mean, it's amazing. Just paddle right on out in the darkness. We don't have a course. We don't have a chart. It's just about, I call it, we are inflicted with me-ism. Anybody ever had a bad dose of me-ism? What about me? What about me? It's not hard, is it? It's not hard to get to me-ism. But you know what? You can't get abundant life. You can't live abundant life if you're living in me-ism. Because it's the preaching of the cross. It's about dying. And then he says this, you know, that if we're going to be like Christ, we need to take up our cross. And so what he's saying, in a sense, is we need to nail all of our insecurities and all of our selfishness and all of our will to that cross. And get on the altar. Be a sacrifice. Somebody said this about, the worst thing about a living sacrifice is we just crawl right off the altar. We don't stay there. But to have abundant life, and for you that raised your hand last week, and here's what we said for you that weren't here last week. We said, you know what? If there's an area in your life that is a repeated cycle of troubles and problems, and you want to have abundant life in that area, because Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And so here's the thing. Here's the whole gist of what we're talking about. That God said we could have abundant life in all areas. And so if you got an area where there's repeated trouble, repeated trials, he said that shouldn't be. There's darkness in that area that's in that should not be there. And so we're just rooting it out by the power of the cross. I want to talk to you today about three things. Number one, you have to identify you need transformation. That's what we did last week. That's what, when the hands went up, we identified that I have an area I need transformation in. And here's something else I want to tell you. If there's some in there, there's an area in your life and it's just okay. You know, Jan and I have had a great relationship for many years. And to be honest with you, the worst part of our marriage, or the most troublesome time in our marriage, was right after we rededicated our lives to Christ. And for 2 years, we fought like cats and dogs. And you think, well, wouldn't that be... And I'm not saying that to discourage you if you've rededicated your life to Christ. Yeah. But here's what I found. You know, Satan hates it when you take a step of faith toward light, doesn't it? That's when it worries him. If you're not fighting any battles, it's probably because you're not headed toward light. But when you take a step toward light and say, you know what, I'm going to, by the power and the grace of God, I'm going to change my life, I'm going to change this area, and I'm going to see the goodness of God, and I'm going to live all the fulfillment and the fullness of God in this area. Just get ready for battles. I heard a statement the other day I thought was pretty cool. A guy said, you know, your church can raise the dead on Sunday as long as nobody knows about it on Monday. He don't care. Just keep it in the walls. But when you start going out of the building, like yesterday, and feeding 600 people or so, and man, this has just got around our city. My neighbor came up, you know, Miss Donna says, I called the TV station and we're going to go and we're going to do an interview on TV. And I said, well, cool. And she said, and you're going to talk. I said, but Donna, you're the one that's all excited and know all the things that's going on and know the itinerary and everything. And she said, I know, and I'm going to tell you, and you're going to talk. So just pray for Miss Donna. She's got all that excitement and zeal, and then when it comes to, you know, being... And so we walked in the little TV deal, and there they are, and their little cameras, and they did the interview, and we just told them about it. And my neighbor saw me. Come over, and he said, there's a celebrity in our neighborhood, and I forgot about it. And he said, I said, well, who is it? I thought maybe some movie star moved in or something. You know? He said, it's you. I saw you on TV. So we're getting the word out. You know, we're feeding people and going in Guatemala and helping build churches. And Eric didn't tell you, he forgot, but we spent $350 on the pastors for their books. Remember you gave for the books? So we spent $350 we gave to the pastors and their books for their college and their pastoral education. So that was also a blessing. And then we gave the school about $1,000, which they spent some of that on our meals, which were pretty meager, and some gas. So there's probably 700 or 800 or maybe 600 or 700 that was donated to the school as well. So it's a good representation from our church. But all I'm saying is, you know, these are areas of light. We're walking in light. And when you walk in light, just be ready for battles. Well, then why should we feed if we've got to run into battles? That's because it needs to be done. He said, when we do it, we touch the heart of God. And how many knows the blessings of God is a lot more powerful than Satan's tricks and his attempts to come against us? And we do it for what it does for us. I was thanking the guys yesterday. I said, thank you for letting us come and feed you and be a part of your backyard barbecue. It did more for us than it did for them. It's awesome. You know, our kids, you should have seen our kids up singing last night. Man, they just had that place rock. Yeah. And then Dorothy got up and rocked the house. And they were just so open. Weren't they open? Didn't they make you feel welcome last night? And throughout the day. Barbara Day yesterday, we were out just sitting on the sidewalk. And I just sat down on the corner. And Kathy and Vernon was with me and some of the others out there. And we just sat down. And the guy who brought his guitar box, so we're playing something. And he got it out and told us about his dreams. I'm going to California. I'm going to play on the beach. I thought, well, that's not much of a dream, but it's better than hanging in the ghettos, I guess. And then he said, I'm gonna be famous someday. And I thought, well, you know, at least he's got vision. He's got vision to where he's at. And so we just bragged on him and clapped when he played for us. See, that's abundant life. We look for abundant life in things and what I can get, and did I get as much as somebody else got, and is my house nice? That's not abundant life. That's meism. It's okay to have stuff. God's not against stuff. But when we're giving ourselves away, that's how we're finding abundant life. That's when it comes. You can't buy what we got from doing what we did yesterday. That does something, because what we did, the Bible said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've just touched God. We just reached out yesterday, and we fed God hamburgers yesterday. Yeah, they were good hamburgers, weren't they? Mark and them that cooked, and thank you, Brother Mark, for all your labor. He made sure the cooker was there, took it home, and supervised the cooking part, and I appreciate that. That was a chore, wasn't it? In fact, Rex said today, he said when he left, he said he turned his windshield wipers on, thought there was a little fog on there, and he said it just started streaking. You know what it was? It was you guys' grease. Just going all over. So we may owe him a worse job or something, I'm not sure. But you know what? That's what we did. We identified that we need transformation. And so, but you don't stop there. You go in, you believe you can be transformed. And as we're transformed, it's about giving out to the community, not receiving. It's not, you know, if you really want a transformation to take place, you start giving out to that area and stop worrying about receiving. You know, for instance, if you've been mistreated, you stop worrying about the person that's been mistreating you. You don't worry about that anymore. What you focus on is what, you know, I believe transformation is possible, regardless of this other element. How many knows you and God are a majority? So quit, throw away all your excuses about, well, I can't be transformed in this area because she won't let me, or he won't let me, or my job won't let me in my finances. I'd like to turn my finances around, but, you know, this won't let me, or I'd like to lose 20 pounds, but the candy bars won't let me, you know, whatever it might be. Dude, this winter I put on my winter coat. Let me put your winter coat on this winter. And so we have to start working to take it off. And I've lost about 5 pounds. And I appreciate it. I think it was Miss Thelma came up. She said, you've lost a few pounds, haven't you? I thought, well, yes, I have. But you know, when you want transformation in your health, you have to act like it. So you have to believe it's possible. And so I've been hitting the track and the gym more. And I've been, you know, eating stuff that's not as fattening and all. I want transformation. And so we have to say, there's a need. And then we have to say, I believe in transformation. And then number three, you have to want to be transformed. For all of us that you know, have to watch what we eat and do, and some of you, and here's what I want you to know, just in case you're skinny and you burn all your calories, all you skinny gluttons will be judged too. Especially when you do it and just eat it in front of us and just rave on about, you know, how you're fit and stuff. Well, your judgment's coming. All the fat people say amen. Go get cream pie, yeah. And that's the way it is. See, we can't keep that stuff in our house. We can't keep that stuff in our house because that's just not, it's not in our vision. That's not in our transformation. And so I'm just saying, and the reason I'm bringing that up is because it's a struggle for me too, you know. If you struggle with it, I just want you to know I'm in the same boat. But I focus on my vision, what I want, how I want to feel, not about what my body is craving for. And let me give you a love triangle. If you keep this love triangle intact, this almost every problem will just dissolve itself. If you keep this love triangle intact, God said, what is it in Mark 12, 30 and 31? Here's the love triangle. If you got a pen and paper, just write, put a little triangle like this, and I'll show you a love triangle. And if you keep this intact, almost everything you do will just fall into place. It's not hard, but it's just something that we need to remember. And if there's something wrong in your life, you can just almost bet that one of these areas in this triangle is out of order. Are you with me? God made it simple, didn't He? And so at the top of the triangle, put God. Because see, He said, love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, your mind, your strength, and your soul. Now most of us don't have a problem with God, but do we have a problem with God? See, if you're wanting transformation, when God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, if you're not following the other two triangular parts, you're not really loving God with all your heart. You're just saying you do. You're thinking. You're in denial that you do. But if you're not following this triangle, you're not. And then He says, and the second is like this, love your what? Neighbor. So put your neighbor down here at the bottom triangle. Love your neighbor. That's where it gets difficult, isn't it? And let me tell you something. It's not about your neighborhood. If you don't love your neighbor, it's not about your neighborhood. It's about your love capacity. Are you with me? It's about your capacity to love people. How many knows when you are a dirty, rotten sinner, Jesus died for you? When you are a dirty, rotten sinner, God sent His Son to the cross for you. So it's not about, oh, if I had better neighbors, I could fulfill number two. No, if you had more love, you could fulfill number two. Now, I do know this. Maybe you've loved your neighbor, and maybe they've just severed all ties, and you've apologized and done all you can, and they just won't. That's not that, but you still have a good heart. See, that's still accomplishing number two. And then, love your neighbor as what? Yourself. So put yourself, put me over here. Now see, me-ism is in there, but it's got to be in the triangle, right? And here's what some of you have a problem loving yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you'll never be able to fulfill that love triangle. Because that's part of the equation, is to love yourself. That's the reason when my body says, look at that candy bar! I said, well, you know what? When we get down to 5 more pounds that I want to lose, maybe you can have it. Because I love myself. Now, if you don't love yourself, you just eat, drink, do whatever, don't exercise, die of a stroke, and go off and be a Jesus. But if you love yourself, you'll begin to tell yourself what's good for you. And you'll begin to put your body under subjection. Now, some of you are having trouble with financial areas. You know what? I don't make enough money. You know what? If you go to a financial counselor, you know what they'll say? Everybody that comes in, whether they make $20,000 a year or $250,000 a year or $1 million a year, they all have the same excuse. I don't make enough money. How many believe if you made $250,000 a year, that'd be enough money? You could get by on that. I never forget when they put Donald Trump on a $250,000 budget. Remember, his companies were in trouble, and they put him on a $250,000 a month budget for his personal use. A month. And I thought, well, how can a billionaire live off that? The Trumpster. Now, don't tell what his net worth is. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Here's what you got to do. If you don't love yourself, you'll never be a good steward financially or any other area of your life if you don't love yourself. Because it's about loving yourself. And you say, well, I was mistreated. I was always talked down to. Well, that was the past. Paul said, forget the past. That was yesterday. This is a day of new beginnings. This is the day that you can start the rest of your life. This is the day you can fulfill your visions and goals because you have the help and the power of God. The preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. And I just know how we are. Some of us struggle physically. Some of us struggle financially. Some of us struggle relationally. Some of us struggle spiritually with issues. But it doesn't matter. It's the power of God. And if you'll get that love triangle and put it in place, I guarantee you, you'll see results. But you can't leave one of them out. You can't harbor unforgiveness and say, well, I'm okay now. No, you're not okay. If you harbor unforgiveness, then you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, I've tried to forgive them and I can't. Well, that's why we're talking about the power of the cross. Look over at your neighbor and say, wake up. It's the power of the cross. Tell them, it's the power of the cross. Yeah, it's the power of the cross. See, stop worrying about what you can't do and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. And begin to say what God says about you. Yeah. And you know what? People are going to beat up on you. It's life. It's just life. When I was going to Guatemala, our neighborhood association sent out letters to everybody and they said, you know, we need a vice president of the neighborhood association. And so I told Janet when we get into town, I said, I'd like to be more involved in my community. So I submitted my name to if they needed help and put a little deal at the bottom there. Telling who I was and things. And so when I was talking to my neighbor the day before yesterday, and he said, "Well, welcome back home." And he said, "You're the new vice president." I said, "Well, cool." And he said, "There's trash cans out showing over here in our neighborhood. You're not supposed to have your trash cans out visible. You're supposed to put them behind your fence." He said, "We've got trash cans out here, got trash cans out down there, and we've got two basketball goals that are illegal." Now, how many knows I might have some problems on my hand? Guess what? I don't care. That's life. I'm going to go up and knock on their door and, you know, "Excuse me. I'm the new vice president. How are you doing today?" Yeah, and I'll just be as cordial as I can, or whatever I need to do. I don't even know what my position is yet, you know, as far as authority and doing. But I just know if it needs to be corrected, how many knows that's a part of life? And here's what we need to learn. When we're transforming our lives, we need to get excited because we are headed to a better future. Are you with me? When we're talking about transformation, we're talking about a better you. And if that a better you doesn't excite you, you need to love yourself more. That's a good place to say amen right there. Transforming by the power of Christ. Isn't that awesome to think we can do all things? I can be everything that God has called me to be through the power of the cross. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. See, that, if it wasn't for that, I would think I'll never be able to lose these other 5 pounds. But I know I can, because He's going to help me. Because when I rebuke that 10-pound, it rebukes me back, and we go struggling against each other. He'll help me through the power of the cross. But you got to believe you can. I heard a story. I think I've told this before, but it's just amazing. It's funny. It said there's three preachers out, and they were out on a boat, and they were fishing. There was a Pentecostal preacher, a Baptist preacher, and a charismatic, positive thinker type preacher, and they all was fishing, and the storm blew in, and their boat capsized, and they all drowned, and to their utter dismay, they all wound up in hell. He said the Pentecostal was looking around, it was all hot, and he said, "Well, I thought I had it, but I guess I didn't. I thought I had it, but I guess I didn't." And the Baptist was looking around, he said, "Well, I thought I had it, but I guess I didn't. I thought I had it, and I guess I didn't. But the positive thinker, Robert Shuter type preacher, he's looking around, he said, "It's not hot, and I'm not here. It's not hot, and I'm not here." That's you, Dennis. Yeah. I mean, notice if you're there, buddy, you're just there. You're just there. There's nothing you can do. But here's what I want to make about that statement: positive thinking will not get you out of hell. Positive thinking will not drop pounds. Positive thinking will not put money in your savings account. Listen, for some of you that's having problems with money, open a savings account. I don't need your help over there, Dave Ramsey. Emergency account. You see. No, I'm so proud of my daughter. She just rules her house and Michael and her finances well. I'll tell you, she's a blessing. But here's what I know. If you're having problems, open a savings account. You say, "Well, I don't have anything to put in it." Well, put something in it. Come borrow something from Adam and put something in there. You know it. Put something in it. I'm telling you. Do you believe you can save money? Open a savings account. You believe it's going to get better? Well, it will do something. All I'm saying is you got to believe God helped you last week and we experienced light. But here's what I want you to know. Transformation is not an event. It's a process. Now, there are times whenever God will deliver you from something just immediately. I can remember back in my early days of ministry, and I wanted to quit smoking. And I don't think smoking's a sin. It's just a bad habit. But I wanted to quit. And so I began to pray. But I can remember when I walked in as just a Christian. I didn't know anything about the Bible much at all. I'd been to church a few times, and I'd received Christ. But I didn't know about this power. But this my pastor said, and I didn't know he'd be my pastor, but he became a pastor, and he said, if there's something in your life and you want to get rid of it today, raise your hand. I'm going to pray, and God's going to help you take that out of your life. And I just, blind faith, honestly, I just thought, well, isn't that cool? I just, when he said that, I just believe that this power of the cross he's talking about here was for me that day. And honestly, I didn't have another craving. I'll never forget, I walked out of the church and I said to Jana, I said, isn't this amazing? I'll never have to smoke again. And that's how much faith I had as a young Christian. That it just struck me that this is true and this there's power in the cross. And I could have what I wanted. Now, but that didn't happen for her. And maybe you tried to quit something or achieve something and it's been a struggle. That's the way most of the time it is. It's a process. Transformation is a process. Let me give you this. Wherever you are and there's a dark area in your life right now, it probably took a time and a process to get there. Are you with me? You know, if it's a relationship issue, it's probably because you picked and she picked and then he picked and she picked and he picked and it's just, the gap has grown wider and wider and wider. It's a process to get you where you are. Because most of the time when we get married, we're just lovey-dovey. Hey, you doing? Where do you want to eat? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? And then after about, you know, a while, it says, where do you want? I don't care. Where do you want? You want to eat here? Okay, let's eat here. Yeah, I don't want to eat there. Where do you want? Oh, I don't care. Wherever you want to eat, wherever you want to eat. I just told you where I am. Well, anywhere but there. Well, then where do you want? I don't care. Just any place else but there. You want to go? Well, okay, we'll go here. You want to go here? If you want to. Well, where do you want to go? Come on, all you holy people. You know. I know what you're thinking. You've been sitting in my car. You've been bugging my car. I mean, I've been married 36 years and that still goes on. Saturday morning, where do you want to eat? Oh, I don't care. I pulled in. I don't really want to eat here. I said, then you tell me, Princess, where do you want to eat? Because I really don't care. Really, I don't care. And that's funny, but I want to tell you something. That gap can grow and grow off little stuff just like that. You have to say, I believe, and then you have to say, I want to be transformed. You know, it's not enough just to say. You can't just have pot. You have to want to be transformed. I mean, you got to want it worse than anything in your life. And if you really want it, God said, I'll help you. It's kind of like your kids. If your kids come to you, and you know, Summer, she wanted to do everything. She, I want to be a ballerina. You know, I want to be a rodeo star. I want to be a dancer. I want to be a, you know, she every report card she ever got, loves to participate. She got one of those, and you have to help them to say, you know what, you can't be everything. I mean, those Michael Jordan was a great basketball star, but he just flopped at baseball. He loved it. And same with golf. He loves golf, but remember the guy that was a golf pro and just swindled him out of millions of dollars because he could stay right ahead of Michael at that golf club. You can't do everything. God's called you to do one or two or three things in your life that you can do very well, and you need to find that and stay on that and play on that court. But you can't do it all. And we have to help our kids, you know, to find that same thing. And that's the way it is with us. You know, we can't be all things to all people, but here's what you say. If there's an area in my life that I need restoring and I need something, I believe and I'm going to press in and I'm going to go for it in Jesus' name. I'm going to be all out in this area till I see transformation. Are you with me? You got to believe that you can be transformed. And then you got to want it. And if you really want it, you'll start taking actions toward whatever it is you're trying to achieve. You know, that's faith with feet, what I call it. If you don't get up and do something, you're just whining and talking. You're just talking smack, as a kid said. If you don't get up and put feet to do something that you need done, that's not faith. You know, when he said, I'm going to give you Jericho, and Jordan River was in the middle, remember they had to keep walking right down toward the water. And when their foot hit the water, then the water exploded and divided. And it's the same way with you and I. When we decided to feed 600 people, we didn't have the resources. And that was a real concern. But I said, you know what? Let's feed them, and God will provide. And you can just feel that bouncing off each other. So God will supply, God will supply. And right up to the time we almost, the day was buying the last supplies, people were still putting in the pot. from all over the city. And we had plenty. We had plenty. But you got to believe, and you got to quit, and just remember that you and God. Just everybody do this, just me and God. See, you can make it if with you and God. Quit saying me and God and somebody else if that's okay. Yeah, leave that other element out. You and God. Just you and God. You and God, you can go to Pharaoh and look him nose to nose and say, let my people go. You and God, you can walk through a hungry den of lions and not be touched. You and God, you can part waters. You and God, you can heal blind eyes and raise the dead. And you and God, it's you and God. It's you and God. See, we can't get in this other thing method and blaming and all. Joel told a story the other day I thought was hilarious. He said the pastor and the music director got at odds with one another. He said the pastor thought, well, I'll get up and I'll preach on change, you know. So he preached this powerful message on changing, and the music director at the end of the church, he got up and he sang the song, led the congregation in, I shall not be moved. So he thought, well, you know, if he'd just start giving himself away, maybe he'd be all right. He'd change his attitude. So he got up and he preached a powerful message on giving the next Sunday. And the music director got up, closed the service with, Jesus paid it all. So he thought, well, you know, maybe I can hit him with his tongue because, you know, he's just talking this smack. And so he got up the next Sunday and he said, you need to watch your speech and you need to watch what you say and your gossip and God is going to get you. And he said, watch what you say. And the music director got up and he closed the service out with, I love to tell the story. Finally, out of frustration, the pastor, he said, resigned. He said he got up one Sunday morning. He said, this is it. I've had it. He said, Jesus brought me here and Jesus has taken me out of here. And said the music director got up and sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. And that's pretty much true for the way the world goes. I'm telling you, you cannot put your faith and your actions in other people. You put it in what God has called you to do, and you put it in the area of transformation you want to change, and you set your face on the God Word, and you set your face toward that, and you start taking steps toward that, and watch the transforming power of God come available. I guarantee, as you just take steps, just like we did with feeding the 600, when we went to Guatemala, same thing. We didn't have the money to go to Guatemala. Some of the kids didn't have the money. We didn't have money to give the pastors, but before we left, it kept coming in. And we were able to give $2,000 for Pastor Elmer's church, which would go a long ways in Guatemala. Amen? So, what do you need that's transformed in your life today? Just say, I believe, I know I need it. I've made my confession, and now I'm going to act on it. I want it, and start taking steps in that direction. There's one final thing I'm going to talk to you next week about to distill this deal. But man, first of all, we confessed last week, okay? And then this week, I want you to take and put feet to your actions. And if it's a relationship issue, change the way you act and react. Be proactive, don't be reactive. Same way in your finances or your weight or whatever else it might be, a habit, whatever it might be, just be proactive. Quit reacting to things and be proactive. You start taking the initiatives and start taking the steps. And watch God, because when you do that, He'll arm up with you and He'll give you power just to march straight on into light. Because it's His desire that you have abundant life. That's what Jesus came for and died for to give you. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for encouraging us with your word and letting us know that with God all things are possible. Father, you even demonstrated to us through Jesus Christ and the cross when he was at his point of need in his life. And God, he went to the garden and he struggled in prayer. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so he knew the direction, Lord. And maybe there's people in this room today that know the direction they want to go. They've painted a picture. They've asked. They've invited you in to partner with them and to bring light into this area and strength into this area and transformation into this area. And today they start their journey. Maybe they started last Sunday, but today they're on that journey. And in Jesus' name, just the way you did, and you came in the garden and you spoke to Jesus and he dusted off his robes when no one else would stay awake and pray with him. He said, it is enough. I've heard from the Father. He's partnered with me in this mission. And then he went to the cross and and he cried out, "It is finished." And God, I pray that you today that you'll do the same with every person in this building that says, "I want lasting and transformation in this area of my life. And by the help and the grace of God, I'm going to see it. Because I'm going to walk toward it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to live it. And I'm going to enjoy the transforming power to live the life that I want to live. To be what you've called me to be. To enjoy the body that you've given me, the finances you've given me, the relationships you've given me. And I'm going to have abundant life in this area in Jesus' name." Well, Christians are praying, heads are bowed. If you're here today, if you didn't have an opportunity to raise your hand last week and receive prayer, if you're here today and you'd like prayer, so there's a chance, there's a